We're going to turn to John chapter 3, please. The Gospel of John and chapter 3. And in the Gospel of John and chapter 3, we learn of a man who lived in Jerusalem at the same time that Jesus walked upon this earth. And his name is Nicodemus. And Nicodemus was a very highly respected man in the community there at Jerusalem. We're told in the Word of God that he was a ruler, first of all. See, the Jews enjoyed a wonderful blessing from the Romans where they were allowed to self-govern to a certain extent. And the governing body of the Jews was referred to as the Sanhedrin. And Nicodemus was a part of the Sanhedrin. And the Sanhedrin was made up of 60 men, so it was only an elite group of men. And they were the ones that decided the laws for the people. If someone was accused of breaking the law, well, then they had to go before the Sanhedrin and they put them on trial. And so we see that Nicodemus held a very highly esteemed position there at Jerusalem. And we have no reason to doubt that he did this out of a genuine love for his people, the Jews. And so he served his community in a wonderful way in being in that Sanhedrin. But it didn't end there for Nicodemus. He wasn't just a ruler in a civil sense. We learned that he was a Pharisee as well. And so he was a religious ruler also. And in this role as a religious ruler, he would teach people the Word of God. People would come to him and ask him questions about the Word of God, and he would explain it to them. If they weren't sure if they were obeying God, well, then they would go to Nicodemus and say, "This is what I'm doing. Will God be pleased with me or not?" And he would tell them if it was good or if it was bad. And so he is referred to as a master of the Jews. And so he was a teacher. And so Nicodemus was a very important man. And he was also a very good man in the eyes of the community there. He tried to live how God wanted him to live. He helped people in every opportunity that he was given. And he taught people the things of God. And those in the city of Jerusalem, when they saw Nicodemus walk by, they would have thought to themselves, "What a godly man. What a holy man." If they were told that Nicodemus was coming to their house, I dare say they all would have got nervous. "Oh, I hope he doesn't think we're doing anything wrong. You know, I don't want to upset this godly, holy man." That's how he would have been considered in the city there at Jerusalem. And I'm sure they thought that if anybody was going to go to heaven, it would be Nicodemus. Wow, Nicodemus, what a godly, holy man. He's sure to go to heaven. And I'm sure if you went to ask Nicodemus, "Are you going to go to heaven when you die?" I'm sure he would have said without hesitation, "My word, I am, most certainly." And if you asked him, "Why would you be going to heaven?" then he would have had a long list of all the good, nice, wonderful things that he has done in order to please God. He would have said things like, "Well, I obey God as much as I possibly can. I go to the temple every day. I help people. I pray to God. I do lots of good things." And as Nicodemus looked around the city of Jerusalem and saw how so many people lived, and then compared himself to them, I'm sure he thought in his own mind, "If anyone deserved to go to heaven, it's me. Because I am far more godly and kind and caring than most people in this city." And so Nicodemus was, in every way, a very good man. But we discover in John chapter 3 that he started to hear stories about a man from Nazareth. Now, Nazareth was just a little town north of Jerusalem. It wasn't, well, highly esteemed by anybody, and usually nothing ever good came out of Nazareth as well. But this man was different to anybody he had ever met before or heard of before. this man did miracles. Not pretend miracles, but real miracles. Miracles that he had never heard happening before in his city. And this man didn't just do these miracles in little rooms where no one could see. He did it in front of thousands of people. And so there was no denying that he was doing these things. But it wasn't just the miracles that started to concern Nazareth. It was Nicodemus. It was what he was saying that began to concern him. And that was, this man was saying that he was the only way to heaven. There was only one way to get to heaven, and that was through him. And no doubt when Nicodemus heard this, he was troubled. I'm sure he was angry. How dare he say he's the only way to heaven? Who is he to be able to say that? I'm sure he thought to himself or said to his fellow Pharisees, does this man think that we're not going to heaven? Surely if there's anyone going to heaven, it's going to be us. Look at everything we do. And I'm sure at first he just thought he was a crazy man. But as time went on, the stories continued to come. And the stories got bigger and more crowds started to follow him. He did more miracles. He raised people from the dead. He allowed the lame to walk. Those who were blind, they were able to see. He did amazing things. And not only that, he began to tell people that he was the Son of God. The Son of God come from heaven. And that he was the only way that a man could go to heaven. And Nicodemus started to get worried. We know that doubts started to creep into his mind. What if Jesus is right? What if he is the only way to heaven? What have I missed? What is there more that I could do to be able to get to heaven? And he wanted to find out. And we can be sure that by the way that Nicodemus lived, that he believed that there was a heaven we could go to and there was a hell that sinners went to. And he certainly didn't want to go to hell. That was the reason why he did all these things. And so Nicodemus was troubled within his soul so much that he decided to go and talk to this Jesus of Nazareth himself to find out who he really was and find out what he had to say. The only problem was, all his fellow Pharisees, they hated the Lord Jesus. They were jealous of him. All the crowds were starting to go to him and be taught from him instead of coming to them. And they didn't like that. They didn't like that he was saying that he was the only way to heaven. And so all the other Pharisees didn't like him, but Nicodemus really wanted to know the truth. And so he decided to go to Jesus by night. And snuck in the darkness to where Jesus was staying. And we learn in John chapter 3, verse 2 this. The same, that's referring to Nicodemus, came to Jesus by night and said unto him, Rabbi, we know that thou art a teacher come from God, for no man can do these miracles that thou doest except God be with him. And so Nicodemus acknowledge that Jesus had to be someone special sent from God. Someone just can't do this unless God was giving him the power. But he wasn't willing to admit that he was the Son of God. Just someone sent from God. But then Jesus said something to him that he had never heard before. Something that totally confused him. Because Jesus told him that if he wanted to go to heaven, well, then he had to be born again. We read there in verse 3, Jesus answered and said unto him, Verily, verily, I say unto thee, except a man be born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God. And so Jesus told him that being born once and then living a good life isn't enough to get to heaven. If he wanted to get to heaven, he had to be born a second time. Now that shocked Nicodemus. Just like it shocks a lot of people when they hear that. You see, most people think that if they get born, so they're living, and then they live a pretty good life without doing anything really bad, they're going to go to heaven. Most people go to heaven, and it's only the really bad who don't. And it is a shock to them as well when they find out that's not the case. You see, Jesus makes it very clear here that's not true. And he made it clear to Nicodemus. He explained to him that to get to heaven, you have to be born twice. Born the first time into your family, and then born a second time. And Nicodemus didn't understand this. He says in verse 4, it says, Nicodemus saith unto him, how can a man be born when he is old? Can he enter the second time into his mother's womb and be born? And so at first Nicodemus thought Jesus was meaning that he had to return into his mother's womb and be born a second time. And that sounded absolutely ridiculous to Nicodemus. That's impossible. You see, he didn't realize that if a person wanted to go to heaven, he couldn't just be born once and then live a good life and he goes to heaven. He had to be born into God's family in order to go to heaven. He had to become one of God's children. And just like it was a miracle when he was born into his earthly family that first time, there had to be another miracle take place where he was born into God's family. He didn't realize that at this time. Another miracle had to take place, and this miracle would only be can be performed by God and nobody else. God had to make him new on the inside, a new creature. And this is what Jesus was explaining to Nicodemus. This is what he meant by saying he had to be born again. Now, Nicodemus was still confused. He was thinking, well, how can I get God to do this miracle for me? Like, surely, if God's going to do this miracle to anybody in making me be born into his family, surely God would do it to me. I've been a good person. I've done lots of good things. Surely God is so pleased with the things I've done, he would do this miracle in me. But he knew that he wasn't born again. So he was confused. How can I be born again? And that's what he says in verse 9. Nicodemus answered and said unto Jesus, how can these things be? How can I get God to do this miracle in me so I can be born again? So I can be a part of his family and go to heaven. And what Jesus did was, in telling him how that happened, he told him a story. He just mentioned a story of Israel's history in order to explain it to him. This is what he says in verse 14. And as Moses lifted up the serpent in the wilderness, even so must the Son of Man be lifted up. Nicodemus would have known what he was talking about. This was talking about a time when Israel was in the wilderness and they had disobeyed God. And God was so unhappy with them, he sent serpents into the midst of the congregation of Israel, and people were being bitten by these serpents and dying. And the people turned to God and cried out for mercy and asked him to save them. And we learn that God showed mercy upon them, and he said to Moses, the leader of Israel, I want you to make a serpent made of brass, and I want you to put it on a pole, and I want you to lift it up high and tell the people if they want to be saved from those serpent's bites, they have to believe that my way is the only way to be saved. And look to that serpent, and look to that, and when they do, I will save them from that serpent's bite. That's what happened years ago. Now, some might have thought, that's ridiculous, I'm not going to do that. I'm going to try my own way, and they die. But those who believed God and what he said, and looked to that serpent, were saved. And Jesus says to Nicodemus, that just like God got Moses to lift up that serpent, so too must I be lifted up. And when I'm lifted up on that cross, those who look to me to be saved, God will show mercy upon them. And he said, this was going to be a picture of what I would do for you, Nicodemus. That's what we read in the following verses. Let me read verse 14 again. It says, and as Moses lifted up the serpent in the wilderness, even so must the Son of Man be lifted up, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have eternal life. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. For God sent not his Son into the world to condemn the world, but that the world through him might be saved. He that believeth on him is not condemned, but he that believeth not is condemned already, because he hath not believed in the name of the only begotten Son of God. And so Jesus explained to Nicodemus that he is going to be lifted up on a cross. Nicodemus is saying, how can someone be born again? And Jesus is saying, I'm going to die on a cross for you, Nicodemus. I'm going to be lifted up and I'm going to take all the punishment that you deserve so you can have your sins forgiven. And if you believe this and you look to me, you can be saved. And you can be born again. You can be a part of God's family. And you can go to heaven when you die. But if you don't believe this, Nicodemus, you are condemned already. And so, we see here that when Nicodemus asked Jesus, how can I be born again? Jesus didn't say, well, you've got to do this, you've got to pray, you've got to be good, you've got to do good things to others, you've got to read your Bible and go to the temple. He didn't say you have to do all these good things. When Nicodemus said, how can I be born again? Jesus said, I'm going to be lifted up on a cross for you, Nicodemus. And I'm going to pay the penalty. And if you believe that, and believe me and look to me to be saved, well then you can be saved and be born again. And I think this would have been a big shock for Nicodemus, because he learnt that night that being good wouldn't get him to heaven. You see, being good doesn't do that miracle inside. Being good doesn't change our spirit and make us born into God's family. Only God can do that. And God says he will only do it if you believe that his Son, the Lord Jesus, died on that cross in your place. And when you look to him, you ask him to save you. That's the only time Jesus will do that. And that's a very good lesson for all of us who want to go to heaven when we die. This is the only way. Jesus is the only way. And this is something that everyone needs to know, because most people that I come across want to go to heaven. Very rarely do I meet someone and I say, would you like to go to heaven when you die? Very rarely have I met someone who says, nah, I want to go to hell. Most people want to go to heaven. But the sad thing is, most people think they're going to go to heaven. If I say, are you going to go to heaven when you die? Most people say, yes. But the sad thing is, I know they think they're going to go to heaven because they think they've been good enough to go to heaven, just like Nicodemus did. And they don't realize they have to be born again. God has to do a miracle inside them to be able to go to heaven. They don't realize that. But the sad thing is, they may have lived a good life, but they're still not going to heaven. They may have gone to church often, but they're not going to heaven. They may have been a very religious person, but they're not going to heaven. And that's because these things can't make our spirit come alive and be born again. Only God can do that miracle. And he'll only do it when he sees someone believe that his son died on that cross for them and asked him to save them. And you know, over the years, I've been able to explain this wonderful use of how to be born again and be sure you're going to heaven to lots of people. I had the privilege of explaining that to lots of people. But there are two men that stand out amongst, above all, who I've had the privilege of explaining this to. Two men who are actually father and son. Now, I didn't explain this wonderful good news to them at the same time. They were at different times. And they were very different, even though they were father and son. The father was very old when I got to explain this to him. And he had lived a very good life, all his life. He was married. He'd been a faithful husband for over 50 years. He had provided for his wife, provided for his children. He was a good dad and a good husband. He went to war in the Second World War. He got captured in Singapore and he was in Changi Prison. And then he worked upon the Burma Railway. And he suffered a lot over those 3 years where his wife didn't even know if he lived or not. He came back from the war. And he was still a good man. It hadn't affected him. And he loved his wife and he loved his children. And he would pray every day for his food and thank God for his food. Anyone who knew him would know that he was a good man. His son was rather different. His son left his wife and children for alcohol and other women. He gambled away their money. He drank way too much. He lived for himself. He didn't love God. He didn't even care about God. But you know, from God's word, I know that one of these men went to heaven. And one of them didn't. Now, for us, it would make sense. Well, the father went to heaven. What a good man. He did everything. Surely he's the one that went to heaven. But you know, I had an opportunity to share with him exactly what Jesus shared with Nicodemus. How being good wasn't enough to get you to heaven. That doesn't make you born again. You have to believe that Jesus died on that cross for you so he can change you from the inside. And you know, when I told him that he had to admit to God that he was a sinner and he needed his sins forgiven, you know what he said to me? He looked into my eyes and he said, "Alan, I don't need to do that. I've been good enough. I believe that God will let me go to heaven because I've done a lot of good things. I'm sorry, but I don't need to do that." And you know, that man died not long after. And sadly, God's word tells me that he's not in heaven today because he was not born again. You see, he died trusting in his good works. And that wasn't enough. If it was enough, Jesus would have told Nicodemus it was enough. Nicodemus, you're good enough to get to heaven. But Jesus said that wasn't enough. You had to be born again. You know, the son found out that he had cancer and he was going to die. And when he had the gospel shared with him, he knew he was a terrible sinner. He knew he wasn't good enough to get to heaven. There was no convincing him of that. And when he heard that Jesus died on that cross for him, he believed. And you know, he knelt beside his bed as a once very proud man. And he told God that he was a sinner and he needed help. And he believed that Jesus died in that place for him and asked the Lord Jesus to save him. And you know, that day, God's word tells me that he was born again. He wasn't trusting in anything he had done. He was trusting in what Jesus had done. It was like he was looking to that serpent on the rod, but instead he was looking to Jesus who bore his sin and asked him to forgive him. And he died very soon afterwards. And God tells me from his word that he is in heaven this very day. And you know, most people, sadly though, act like the Father, not the Son. They think that they're good enough to get to heaven. And so they don't think they need to be born again. But the fact is, Jesus came from heaven, the Son of God, and he said, being good won't get you there. I have to die in your place. And you have to believe that, and you have to call upon me to save you. Otherwise, you won't go to heaven. You will never see the kingdom of heaven. You must be born again. You know, I know that each one of you have been born once. We're all here. We've been born once into somebody's family. But can I ask you this very important question, and that is, have you been born again? Have you been born a second time into God's family? God's way, not trusting in anything good, but have you looked to the Lord Jesus and said, I believe you died on that cross for my sin because I'm a sinner. And dear Lord Jesus, I admit that. I thank you for dying for me. Please save me from my sin that I may be made new and born again and become a part of your family. You know, that's not just something that happens by accident. It's not something that, oh, I'm born again and I didn't realize it. No, that's something that we choose to do. You don't choose to be born the first time, but you choose to be born the second time. Can you remember a time when you heard that gospel, that good news of what Jesus did for you? Realizing you haven't been born again and you're a sinner. And you called upon the Lord Jesus to save you. That's what you should be able to remember. You may not remember the actual date, but you should remember the time. I've heard it explained, and I like this explanation. You can ask a lot of men if they were married, and they'll say, yes. And then you might say, well, when did you get married? What was the date? And a lot of men struggle with the actual date. But although they may not be able to give you the date, they can still remember the day. Well, I can't remember the date, but I do remember I was standing there and my bride came down and I remember saying the vows and I remember the minister saying, you're married. I can't remember the date, but I can remember the day I got married. And you should be able to do that with the day you became a part of God's family. Can't remember the actual date, it was a while ago maybe, but I do remember that day when I called upon the Lord Jesus to save me. If you haven't got that memory, maybe you're not. Most likely you're not. And it doesn't matter if you're young and you've grown up in a Christian home or if you're old and you've never been to church before, you need to be born again if you want to get to heaven. And that's not my words, that's Jesus, the one who did all those miracles and told everyone that he was the Son of God come from heaven and he was the only way. Please, if you're not born again, come and see me. I'd love to talk to you and share with you how you could be or talk to someone that you know or trust. But make sure that you're born again. Let's pray. Father, we thank you that you sent your Son because you loved us so much and you allowed him to die upon that cross for all our sins, that, Lord, we may be cleansed. I pray that each person will be able to say today, yes, I've been born again. I have been saved. I know that when I pass from this world to the next, I'll be trusting in what Jesus did for me, and I will go to be with him one day. I pray this in Jesus' name. Amen.